All right. This next song, probably not a lot of you know it, but this is called Dry Bones. It's actually, what scripture is it out of, Caitlin? Ezekiel?
Ezekiel 37.
Ezekiel 7, and we're going to play a little bit, and she's going to read to you the scripture that this comes from. So listen, and I hope it speaks to you this morning.
The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. Then he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I replied, Lord God, only you know. He said to me, Prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. So he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, This is what the Lord God says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Through the eyes of man, it seems that so much we have lost. We look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. And one by one the enemy is whispering lies and led them off astray. But we know that you are God, yours is a victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones. Daughter, bring us back the wayward son. By your spirit, breathe upon them. Show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive. Out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones come alive. Breathe, oh breath of God. Breathe, oh breath of God. Now breathe. Breathe.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Have you ever seen a dead man walk? Have you ever seen a dead man come to life? Have you ever seen bones? How many of you have ever seen the bones, the skeletal remains of an animal? Any of you ever seen the skeletal remains of an animal? Have you ever in your life, ever have you experienced ever those bones get up and start walking? If you've seen anything like that before, raise your hand. I want to kind of... You've seen dead bones? I don't know where you were, buddy, but I don't know that I want to be there. We want the evidence, right? We want the proof. If it says somewhere or testimony of someone has said, I have witnessed these things, I'm hesitant to believe that myself. I want to see. I want to know where is the proof of that happening. How many of you have ever seen a UFO? Come on, you can be honest in here, right? Lane has seen a UFO. Anyone else seen a UFO? Right? UFO, unidentified flying object. Okay. So my question is, I have never seen one, so for me, where is the proof? Do I believe that UFOs exist, unidentified flying object? I think in that sense, sure, there are lots of things that soar through the air that I may not understand what they are. But I have never seen an actual UFO, an actual craft that hovers over the ground that I might have approached and just was absolutely awestruck because I've never seen that. How many of you have ever witnessed Bigfoot running through the woods? How many of you been camping, you've seen Bigfoot? All right, now, Stacy, it doesn't count when when you take off your shoes and your shirt and you run through the forest. That doesn't count. You have to be a witness of these things. You know, the Bigfoot creatures or whatever, the Sasquatches of the world. You've seen these, right? Now listen, I want to share that there are times when I have wondered, what in the world is that? Right? But for me, I want the evidence. Where is the proof? I've never put my eyes on Bigfoot running through the forest. Brad, have you? You've seen Bigfoot? He was taking a picture. Of course he was. He actually wanted your autograph. I understand. So one last question. How many of you have ever seen the Loch Ness Monster? How many of you have ever seen this creature, Nessie, they call her, him, or it, that thing? How many of you have ever been a witness to anything out of the ordinary in a body of water that you absolutely could not explain, that had a long neck poked up and it looked at you right in the eyes? How many of you have ever witnessed anything like that before, ever? All right, now, preacher, you're just getting silly. There's no such thing as the Loch Ness Monster. There's no such thing as anything like that, right? Well, here's the reality. When we look at the Scripture this morning, we're in a section of Scripture that doubting Thomas is... Didymus, called the twin, he was not there when the rest of the apostles saw the resurrected Jesus. And he just simply stated, unless I see him, I will not believe. And I think that's the case for a lot of people in the world that you and I live in today. We give testimony to the power of God. Amen. I can tell you something that I believe is a fact, and that is that Jesus Christ lives. How do I know he lives? Because he lives in me. You may or you may not be able to see that Jesus lives in me, but I want you to know that he does, that he's here and that he's powerful, and that according to his word, as it goes forth, it'll not return void. And so I'm so thankful that I can trust that my Jesus lives in me. Yet there's some that says, where is the evidence? There's some that wants to see something so much more than my testimony. There are those who say, where is the proof? And so this morning, there are three things that I want to share with you concerning the Word of God, concerning this section of Scripture about believing and belief and evidence and proof and witnessing and testifying. All of those things we're going to look at and we're going to talk about concerning the Lord Jesus this morning. So with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. John chapter 20, verses 24 and following. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them, the apostles, when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and he said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Will you pray with me? Blessed Father in heaven, today in the matchless name of Jesus, we approach your throne of grace and ask that you would fill us today with wisdom and revelation of that knowledge in you. Father, that you would show us, that you would speak to our hearts concerning your resurrection. Father, if there be anyone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of conviction, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, today we just give it to you, asking that you and you alone be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus being resurrected from the dead, we're kind of carrying this over from our Easter service, and Jesus being raised from the dead, the Scripture tells us that there were many witnesses, that there were many proofs of his resurrection. So according to Scripture, we know, we believe that Jesus is alive. Yet in the world that the disciples, the apostles lived, some had not yet seen the resurrected Jesus Christ. As a result of that, I would say that even for me, there could be some skepticism. Even for me, there could be some doubt. If I were there walking with King Jesus during his earthly ministry, I can see. I had seen him go to the cross. I had seen him being beaten. I'd spit upon, ridiculed. And he was taken down from the cross. He was buried in a tomb. And I've heard the stories. I've heard his testimony. But at this point, I do not know if he's alive. That was probably Thomas's reaction. I need proof. I need to see. And we live in a world today that elevates anything that we can see with our eyes, but then it tears down anything that we can't see. We believe a lot of the times if there is no visible evidence, then it cannot be real. God's given us our senses. What are they? Our taste, touch, smell, sight. What else? There's five of them, right? What did I miss? Hearing, thank you. And we need those. But our eyesight probably is one of the most important senses that we have, because we use these and we see and we witness, and our eyes give testimony to reality. And so we see this for Thomas. He needed to see. God had given him these eyes and he needed to see. But I want to share some things with you that I think are pertinent to the society that we live in that says, "I need proof." Number one is this. Doubt can cause you to miss God's greatest blessings. Think about that for just a moment. Doubt can cause you to miss God's greatest blessings. Here we are, and we find ourselves that the apostles, the disciples, they'd already been a witness to the resurrection. They had gathered together in the upper room. They had seen the testimony. They had seen Jesus in the flesh, but Thomas wasn't there. I don't know why he wasn't there. I have no idea. We don't know. The Scripture doesn't really testify about that. I know a couple of times in Scripture it tells us that Jesus... That Thomas even wanted to go with Jesus and to die with him, the Scripture tells us. So I think maybe he was just so distraught over the loss of Jesus that he just needed to go away and be alone. Have you ever been in that situation where you just need to go be by yourself? Yeah? Yeah, I get that way often. I really enjoy just going away and just sitting somewhere, maybe under a tree out in the woods or maybe out by the pond. I just like to be alone occasionally so that I can just hopefully, prayerfully hear from God. That's the purpose of being able to do that. And so maybe Thomas thought, if I can just go and I can get away, I can pray to the Father, maybe Jesus will speak to my heart. Maybe I can get a sense of peace. He was longing for that, but he still had some skepticism. He still had some doubt. But it's because of this doubt that he missed God's greatest blessing the first time, right? How many of you have ever been in a situation where you believe through the testimony of others that maybe what you've heard them say is true, but there's still a little skepticism there. There's still a little bit of doubt, right? You want to believe, but you're just not sure. I was a child, and we would go to my grandmother's in Medina, step-grandmother in Medina, Mamaw's house, and they would just sit around the table, and they would tell stories. My stepfather and friends who would be there at the table and family, and they would tell stories about when they were younger, when they would get in their cars, and they would just ride around on the back roads. And so one of the stories was they were riding one time out on the back road, and they had... There no lights out there at all, and as they approached a stop sign, they went on through the stop sign, and they were out in a pastured area, and there was a fence, just like most country roads that you find yourself on. And all of a sudden, there comes an animal that is huge, and it's large, and he's running across the field. And this is the story, and I'm telling you, this is what I have heard. And this animal is tall. It's a Bigfoot. In Gibson County. I haven't met him. I'm just telling you the story. And so here he is. He's running. He jumps the fence. And he stops right in the middle of the road. He sees the car lights on the car. And he just looks at those who are in the car. Stands up. My stepdad testifies that that creature, whatever it was 9, maybe 10 feet tall. To this day, I ask my stepfather about this creature, and he tells me it is true. It happened. I seen this creature with my own eyes. Now, for me, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't there. Was there an animal running across this field, jumped the fence, gets in the middle of the road, and just stands up and is maybe 9, maybe 10 feet tall? I have doubt, but I want to believe. Why? Because my stepfather is the one that's telling me this, someone that is credible in my sight, someone that I love, someone that I trust the testimony of. Do you understand? So maybe Bigfoot really does live. All I know is that he stood up, he looked at them, and if they were riding down the roads, maybe consuming a little too much alcohol, they stuck their hand out the window and poured it out that night. Because I would say they were probably drinking just a little bit too much, wouldn't you? Today, though, I want to know, where is the witness? Where is the proof? Where is the testimony? How can this be? Thomas's attitude, how can this be? But sometimes there's doubt. Even today, there are doubters. And the Scripture says this concerning Jesus. Jesus was already being crucified. He was on the cross. And so some Pharisees and some of the other people who were there in the audience, they passed by Jesus and they blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He is the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. Matthew 27, verse 39 through 42. Let Him come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. They had doubts. They didn't believe. They were looking for proof. They wanted to see the evidence. If you're really God in the flesh, show me the proof. They had forgotten about all the other miracles that had been performed. They had gotten about the testimony. They'd forgotten about the testimony that Jesus had even given about Himself. They didn't understand the temple that He was referring to was not the temple made with the hands of man with brick and mortar, but it was the temple of God that existed through Jesus Christ. They didn't understand all of that. Come down and I'll believe. There's a world that you and I live in today that says if Jesus would come down from the cross, then I'll believe. There's a world of doubters today, and I want you to know, even if there's this moment in your life where you have ever doubted, doubt sometimes causes you to miss God's greatest blessings. What are you doubting God for today? What is hindering you from receiving a great blessing that God desires to bestow upon you? Where is that doubt today? Where does it lie? What area of your life do you need proof? Do you need proof? We do. We live in a world where we require proof. And sometimes that keeps us from receiving blessings. Matter of fact, considering doubt, Jesus said, or James said, and this is through the power of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about wisdom. But also this applies for a lot of other areas in our lives as well because it's dealing with doubt as a whole. He says, but let him ask in faith. If you lack wisdom, it says, let him ask and God will give to all liberally, it says. And then right here in verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6 of James, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Doubt. Wishy-washy. Doubt. Tossed to and tossed fro. Doubt. It captures our hearts and it keeps us from trusting. It keeps us from believing. And when doubt enters into our world of reference, when doubt enters into our life, when doubt enters into our thoughts, it grips us, understand, and keeps us from the blessings of God. For Thomas, he missed a tremendous blessing, didn't he? And I'm going to continue on with this morning. The second thing is this. Not only can doubt cause you to miss God's greatest blessings, but number two, listen to this. The resurrection assures you that Jesus is God. The resurrection assures you that Jesus is God. Now, Thomas wanted to believe that, but he had not seen the evidence. And the resurrection assures us. Listen to verse 26 and following. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. He missed the blessing the first time. A week goes by, a week and a day. 8 days later, now all of them were together again. They were inside again. This time Thomas was there with him. He had heard enough testimony. He had heard enough witness from the others that were close to him that he thought, well, let me try and figure this out. Let me go with them. Let me see if the evidence appears. And so it says again that they were inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Now why do you think he would have said peace to you? He said the same thing to those that he had made himself visible to the first time, or the second time, or the third time. Every time that he witnessed, that he made himself visible to them, he said, peace to you. What peace was he referring to? I think it was this. They had been hoping that Jesus was the one. They had been hopeful that he was the Messiah. They had been hopeful that he was the King of Kings. They had been hopeful that he was from the Father. But he died. They didn't think God would be able to die, the Messiah would be able to die, but he died. And their peace left with the last breath of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them and he says this, peace to you. Know this, that I am who I said I was. I am He. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They needed that. And so that's the importance of the resurrection today. The resurrection assures you that Jesus is God. And so peace to you. Verse 27 says this. It says, then He said to Thomas, reach your fingers. Now, He wasn't there when Thomas said, unless I see Him, I'm not going to believe. Unless I can touch my fingers to His fingers or touch my fingers into His side, I'm not going to believe. But Jesus, being God, understood that He had said that. He knew that that was something that was on His heart. Now all of a sudden Jesus appears and gives Him an opportunity. He said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and he said to Him, my Lord and my God. There was that testimony. He had been a witness. Finally, he had seen His hands. Finally. In the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the room, Jesus stood. And where Jesus stood, He immediately found Thomas. And He said, look, the nail prints in my hands. He said, look, the wound in my side. Take your hand and put it here. We don't know if Thomas did that. I'm going to say he probably didn't from that point on, don't you? I'm going to say that the visible sight of King Jesus was enough. But he had that opportunity. And he was approached specifically. Aren't you glad today that God still approaches us individually? Aren't you thankful today that when you're beginning to have some questions and some doubts in some area or another, that your trust lies in the resurrected Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful that you don't have to battle the world's problems on your own? Aren't you thankful for the resurrection? Aren't you thankful that He comes to you as an individual? Aren't you thankful that when you're burdened by this world's problems that you can go to that quiet place, you can get on your knees, you can cry out to King Jesus, and He comes and He says, peace to you? Isn't that good? That's what He does. That's who He is. We can't do a lot of things on our own. We don't have the strength, but through the Spirit and the power of God Almighty, we can get up and do that which God has created us to do. Because of the resurrection. Listen, only because of the resurrection. So I don't know about you, but I can testify today I am thankful for the resurrection. Amen? 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 says this. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, hear the senses, right? Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. He said, I'm a witness. Really what he was saying is I'm a rock star kind of witness, right? I can tell you firsthand that Jesus is alive and well because I saw Him with my eyes. I touched Him with my hands. I heard the words that He spoke with my very ears. Friends, that is powerful testimony, amen? They were witness to it. And you and I, we be that witness today. That is us, that is you, and that is I in the world that we live in an unbelieving world that needs proof. It's you and it's me. I've seen the things that He has done. We look for signs and we look for wonders. I've seen lots of miracles performed. I'm trusting God for a miracle right now, and God is the only one that can provide a miracle that I'm sure of, but I'm believing my God for it. And I've heard the testimony with my own ears of others that God has blessed, that God has provided comfort and peace to. I've seen it. I have heard it. Wow. And then we live it in the world that you and I are a part of today. Why? For the benefit of others. That's why the resurrection assures you that Jesus is God. So verse 3 says this, that which you have seen and heard, listen to this, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Powerful. You know why I believe today? Because of the testimony of the Word of God. You know why I believe today? Because of the conviction of the Spirit of God. You know why I believe today? Because of the work of God in the world that you and I live in. I am so confident of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that I am willing to stake everything on Him. Everything. Whatever the cost. Whatever the pain. Whatever the heartache. It's all about Jesus. And the last thing that I submit to you this morning is this. Faith in Jesus is the evidence of your belief. Faith in Jesus. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith. It's the substance. Is faith real? Is it something tangible? Is faith something that you can grab a hold of? That's a tricky question, preacher. Faith? Faith believes the unseen. Faith believes the unbelievable. That's what faith is. Faith believes if God calls me to step off of this then and continue to walk forward, that I'm going to be able to step one foot in front of the other, believing that God is going to guide my steps. That's faith. And you can have, there is no faith that is garnered more than the faith that you are to have in Jesus Christ. No more. You should not have faith in anything greater than your faith in Jesus. My faith is strong. I'm believing God. Faith in Jesus is the evidence of your belief. So today I want to ask you, your testimony, do you believe, do you have that kind of faith? Is your faith in Jesus the evidence? Is that the proof that the world is looking for? Can you testify to that today in the assembling of ourselves together? Is that who Jesus is to you? Is He your Savior? Is He your God? Is He? Awful quiet today, church. So can you testify? Because Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you think about that, because here we are gathering ourselves together. We're supposed to be believers. And I want to ask you again the question, do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Yeah, is it real? Or do you need more evidence? Do you need to look upon Him with your eyes? Do you need to be able to hold Him with your hands? Do you need Him to come to you like He did doubting Thomas and say, here, the nail prints in my hands. Here, the wound in my side. Come on. Come on, Thomas. Come on, take your hand and put it here. Is that what is needed in this world that requires signs and wonders? Is faith not enough? The Scripture says this. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. So I want to ask you today, we begin to conclude as I share this Scripture with you from 1 Peter. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Why faith is so important, amen? There is no salvation without the repentance of sin. There is no salvation without faith in Jesus Christ. None. No back doors, no back stairways into heaven. Jesus said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Faith. Where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Let me ask you this. What more proof do we need than the testimony of the church? What more proof do we need than the empowerment empowering of the Holy Spirit upon our lives and the anointing of God from above. What more proof do we need? Do you need to see the nail-pierced hands? What more proof do you need? Do you need to see the crown of thorns pressed upon his head? What more proof do you need? Today, I say Jesus is enough. I don't know where you are today. I don't know how God has spoken to your heart. I don't know what God is dealing with you about, but Scripture says this again. Verse 28, Thomas answered and he said to him, "My Lord and my God." He believed. But then Jesus responded, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." So I ask you today, where is your faith? Is your faith in the resurrected Savior whose name is Jesus? Or is your faith in the proof of your eyes? You need to see him. You need to hear him speak to you audibly with your lips. You need to touch him with your hand. You need to smell the rugged wilderness smell of his body. What is it today? Maybe even, it's kind of disgusting, but maybe you even need to taste the sweat from his brow. Would that be enough? Because I say that if you can't believe without it, you'll find a reason not to believe with it. Let me pray. Father in heaven, Lord, today in the magnificent name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing your word to be powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. Father, we thank you for the anointing of your Spirit. We thank you for guiding and directing. We thank you for allowing us an opportunity to worship in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you that we can believe upon the name of Jesus. Lord, as we gather together today, I know there potentially someone who is here who doesn't believe. They've never confessed their sin. They've never trusted Jesus as Lord. And Father, today my prayer is that our testimony is enough. My prayer is that you would convict right now, that you would speak to their hearts. My prayer is that they would feel your presence in a mighty, powerful way. Father, that today you give them the strength they need to step up and stand out. Father, that they are willing to lift their hand high and say, "Today I believe." Father, maybe there are some here like Thomas. They've been in your presence. They've read and heard your words. But for some reason today, there's little belief in their hearts. Lord, I pray right now for a burdening upon their souls. Lord, that you would convict them. Lord, that you would love them, that you would draw them back to yourself. That you speak to them. Peace to you. So, Father, during this invitation time, I don't know what you would have us to do. But I do know that you would have us to respond some way or another. So, Father, I ask that you would speak. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak. Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand. During this invitation time, would you come? This morning, you come.
I have the one who stepped down into